As health insurance companies begin to build the plans they will offer on the Affordable Care Act exchanges, many are warning that they are either dropping out of the system or are substantially hiking rates. 90.5 WESA's Mark Neutbar reports this could be a healthy maturation of Obamacare, or it could be a step toward its demise.
When the Affordable Care Act was passed in 2010, it included a provision for exchanges to be set up in each state that would serve as a clearinghouse for all eligible insurance plans being offered in that state. About half of them are being run by the states and the remainder by the federal government. To have a plan included on the exchange, an insurer must provide 10 essential benefits such as prescription drug coverage, emergency services, and maternity care. Nancy O'Connor is the regional administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which oversees the federally run exchanges. She says the details of those benefits are tweaked every year and sent to the insurance providers in an 80-plus page document.
They're very, very long. They're very weedy and detailed as far as all the changes and, you know, the nuances that are different from one year to the next.
Based on those requirements and their cost estimates, the insurance companies set rates for their offerings and then submit their plans to be listed on the exchange. If it ended there, it would not look much different than the commercial healthcare marketplace. But the system is far more complicated than that. There are subsidies, tax benefits and penalties, limited enrollment periods, and things called risk corridors and risk adjustments. O'Connor says depending on who actually signs up for an insurance company's plans, the insurance company could get money back from the federal government to compensate for higher than average expenses, or it could be charged by the federal government for lower than expected costs. The payments and charges are made at the end of the year in something called truing up.
We're looking at medical loss ratio. Ultimately, we're looking at the claims that the insurance companies are paying, and all of that data is being put into different formulas.
O'Connor says those formulas are working, but some insurance companies say the payments are not. A separate law prohibits the federal government from using any funds not generated by the Affordable Care Act to pay for the program. Highmark Health recently sued the federal government, saying that in 2014, the government's formula calculated that the health plan should receive $220 million. However, it only sent Highmark $28 million because there was not enough money in the pool. According to Claire Cruising, who is the spokesperson for the industry group America's Health Insurance Plans, or AHIP, a similar ratio played out across the country.
The shortfall in the risk corridor payments really, I think, made a lot of companies, you know, reevaluate whether they could remain in the market given the losses that they face.
To make the Affordable Care Act live up to the affordable part of its name, it needed young, healthy individuals that rarely see the doctor to sign up and pay for insurance in numbers large enough to offset the payouts by sicker individuals who see the doctor far more often and generally enroll at higher rates. But that's not happening. Cruising says that creates an unstable marketplace.
If only those individuals with really high medical costs are signing up for insurance, that is what we call, and what many in the industry call, a death spiral scenario.
To encourage those healthy Americans to purchase coverage, the Affordable Care Act includes a tax on anyone that does not have insurance. A single 25-year-old earning Pennsylvania's median income of approximately $53,000 in the year 2015 would be taxed $111 a month if they didn't have insurance. But even the cheapest coverage option available in Allegheny County is more than $111. The ACA also uses the tax code to incentivize low-income individuals who don't qualify for Medicaid to get insurance by providing subsidies for their care. The Transamerica Center for Health Studies has a mission of educating healthcare consumers and has not taken a stand on the Affordable Care Act as a whole. However, Executive Director Hector De La Torre says the ACA has exceeded its goal of enrolling 10 to 11 million Americans, but it's falling short when it comes to enrolling the poor.
They, for the most part, have never had health insurance, so they don't know how it works. Many of them don't know either the mandate or that there are subsidies in these exchanges. So it's a tougher group to reach out to, and it requires more education. A TV commercial isn't going to do it for them. They need personal, whether it's on the phone or face-to-face, communication to explain to them how all of this works.
In some states, there are so few people purchasing policies from the exchange that insurance companies are pulling out of the system. It has reached the point that in a few states, including Alabama and Alaska, only one provider remains in the exchange. Much has been made of providers moving in and out of the exchanges, but De La Torre says it happens all the time in the commercial insurance markets, but there are no government programs tracking those movements, so the changes largely go unnoticed. However, insurance industry spokesperson Claire Cruising stresses building products for the commercial market is not the same as building one for the exchange.
There is very limited flexibility for plans to use some of the tools that they do have to make coverage more affordable. And what is concerning are attempts at the state and federal level to add greater restrictions or more requirements on plans.
One new requirement being discussed in some states is forcing plans to offer a wide network of providers. In general, the more doctors and facilities covered as in-network, the more expensive it is to operate the plan. If a network is so narrow that the only doctor specializing in your ailment is hours away by car, De La Torre wonders if that's truly offering coverage.
Consumers don't know about this. They assume it's a health insurance company and, you know, they can go wherever they want. Well, they can. It just costs them more. Well, that's not real access. Who's going to hop, you know, in their car or on a bus or whatever to get to Philadelphia to go visit that oncologist? That's not adequate.
Defining what constitutes an adequate network could prove to be difficult. The guidelines for 2017 have been released, and insurance providers are building their plans. At the same time, Nancy O'Connor of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services says the public needs to become more informed about the Affordable Care Act, health insurance, and health care in general.
If you've never had health insurance in your life, you don't know what a deductible is. You don't understand paying your premiums every single month. People need to understand access to health care, what's appropriate. You know, that if your kid has an ear infection, you don't go to the ER for that ear infection. You need to establish a relationship with a primary care provider. And by doing more of that, that is also a facet in stabilizing this marketplace.
Open enrollment will begin in November. And depending on which party is in power come January, there could be more changes coming before the next 80-plus page document defining minimum coverage is released by the feds. I'm Mark Neutbar, 90.5 WESA News.
This and other stories in our Bridges to Health series can be found at WESA.fm.